could recommend that there's a condition that there's no UNO issued until the residence has been demolished and removed.
Well, my understanding of the township requirements is AutoZone will be required to secure a demolition permit. So that would be one of the first permits that would be issued. And of course, at that time, as Eric had said, not only would the improvements in the front of the site be removed to make way for the AutoZone, but the existing structures at the rear of the property would be removed at the same time. So essentially the site would be clear and clean to accommodate not only the AutoZone construction, but the construction of the future development of the rear, if that's a restaurant or some other use that I know the property owners have yet to determine what that's going to be, but the demolition work would be completed at the same time the front portion of the lot is demolished.
But to be clear, you're just coming in for the AutoZone at the moment. We don't know that
Correct.
The future is ever going to happen, right?
Correct.
So that the application is for just the AutoZone, no residential, no nothing.
No other buildings
other than what we have presented in front of us. Correct.
Correct.
Okay. Because that was one of the things that we were, you know.
Yeah, we're not going. The landlord or the landowner is going to have to come for approvals afterwards.
Okay. Right. So that's speculation that the landowner is possibly going to do something, and you have made accommodations
for him
to them within your agreement for the extra parking and all of
Correct.
That kind of thing.
Correct.
That's simply between you guys.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So
none of that comes into play until they develop the map.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So that's an issue to be addressed at a later date. The only thing that we're concerned with is this one single project, no residential, and with a demolition.
And getting those buildings.
And getting those buildings out of there and making it a clean project.
Correct.
Hey, Andy.
Again, please be reminded this is a lease, so AutoZone is leasing this front parcel. So really, it is one piece of property. So you're right, we will only be coming to the township for development of the AutoZone.
Correct.
But
okay.
The rear of that property will be demolished and cleared, and that will be shown on the demolition plan.
Right.
Yeah,
and the only reason for that is because you can't have that type of a mixed use on one property.
Right.
And to my mind, that requires then a condition that says the demolishing and removal of the residence will occur within a certain deadline. Nothing about what might go there in its place, but just...
I don't know that...
construction begins.
I don't know that we would call it a deadline, but I think we would
say that before construction begins,
that is, which all it does is... I mean, you got to clean up the property anyway.
Exactly.
You need staging areas and for equipment and that just makes sense.
Because we
I'm not saying I don't think a time. I don't think an actual time would be fair.
No.
Because if we know what with permitting and with financing and weather and
right.
stuff, you might be 2 years out on this project.
Correct.
We don't know. You
Correct.
Don't know.
I don't know.
So we would. No. I don't believe that we would use a date.
Yeah, removal before construction begins. I think that addresses it.
Yes, exactly.
The only concern I have there is that if I'm the general contractor building up on this property, I might want to take advantage of the rear property to put my porta-johns, my storage, my lay-down, and my office.
Of course.
I don't want to burden the contractor that he's got to jump through hoops and demolish that rear portion before he can start construction. I think that's an unfair burden on the contract. I think it is reasonable to say to AutoZone, you know, you certainly would not have an occupancy permit if those structures were still standing. And I think it would be reasonable to assume that the demolition will proceed before a lot of the final improvements are done. You're certainly not going to put down brand new pavement and then come back and demolish buildings. But I would be cautious not to try to lock the contractor into a schedule that's going to turn around and cost money to the AutoZone because, you know, again, he's trying to juggle quite a bit of work. I mean, keep in mind, there's going to be stormwater management on this site that's going to have to find a place, if not within the AutoZone lease parcel, at the very rear of the property, which is where the best perk probably would exist for an infiltration system. So I would just caution the township not to overburden the contractor with a schedule that would add cost to the project.
It wouldn't be overburdening the contractor. The contractor can move his trailer and everything and start demoing. We're just saying that the new build on the AutoZone can't start until...
We're going to be pretty stuck on that.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. We're going to be pretty stuck that building's got to come down before any new construction happens. I mean, maybe simultaneously with the site work, include it in the site work or something like that.
Preparation work.
It's fine, but I don't think that we're going to want a new building being erected with that back there. I think we're going to hold pretty strong on that.
Yeah, that was definitely
at least from the planning commission standpoint. I don't want to speak for everyone, but
Carmen, I don't know. I don't know if that's. I mean, you're more of an expert than I am on that piece of the puzzle. But I don't think that it's going to be. I mean, it's a pretty large property. I don't know how burdensome it's going to be on the construction.
There's a huge laydown area
we don't have a member of our construction team on the phone. I thought I had everybody, but
that's fine. I mean, you know, you've got to.
Bill, if you and Eric are comfortable with that condition, it's certainly doable. It's not going to derail the project.
It's not going to add any extra cost. It's just a timeline thing. I mean, it's got to be done.
We'll work through it.
Eric, if you and Bill are okay with it, I see no reason to see no problem with the condition.
No, I think the board has been reasonable in helping us get to this point. And, you know, if that's an important piece, then we want to do our part to make sure that, you know, we can comply with that. As long as AutoZone isn't concerned, then we'll do what we need to.
Okay. We appreciate that.
Hey, Andy, you there?
Yes, sir.
Do you have any comments from talking to Sean? Is there anything outstanding?
Negative.
Okay.
He was satisfied with the fact that the residence was going to be disposed of. So I'm looking at my notes. I don't see anything else from Sean.
All right, would you agree that they should put the application in and come to the next meeting?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay.
Is the time going to work for advertisement and all that stuff? I mean, whatever the timeline provides as far as proper advertising.
That'd be, what, 7 days prior?
We don't advertise for
it. Oh, no, we don't advertise for the planning board. Only for the hearing with supervisors.
Sorry.
The supervisors would have to hold the conditional use hearing.
Correct.
And they meet Monday. So if you want to have the secretary just let the supervisors know that it's possible that the planning commission will be taking action at the end of the month meeting on a recommendation for the AutoZone, then we can advertise a conditional use hearing for July.
You got that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, there'll be plenty of time because it's going to be 2 weeks after.
Anyway, right. There's still plenty of time to advertise.
Okay. Thank you.
And Shahana, my understanding is that everything that you need from us for the formal planning commission submittal has been made. We've paid the fee. We've filled in the application. Check this has been provided. If there's anything that you still need from us before we go to the planning board at the end of the month, please let me know. But going back through my notes, I think we've submitted everything that was required for the planning board review.
Yes, I think, received all the money.
I think you're good for the conditional use. The other stuff will come in play when you do land development.
Correct.
Yeah, I think we have everything here. I just reviewed the submittal that was made, and it does have, assuming that the checks are all there, seems to be in order. I know Sean reviewed it.
Did you deposit the checks?
Yes.
Okay, they're all deposited. Everything's good.
Thank you.
All right, well, that would be our suggestion then.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Moving forward to the.
Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Midnight.
Thank you.
I know you.
What's going on, buddy?
All right. Next, we have on the agenda DEPG update.
Okay. The update is the engineer is just about complete with 407, his suggestions on it. I think, have you talked to Fuller yet, Tony? I can't hear you. You're muted.
You're muted.
Excuse me, Bob, what was your question?
Did you talk to John Fuller on the 407 yet? I don't know if he was ready to call you yet or not.
No.
And that's because we're going to bring something up to the supervisors at the next meeting Monday night.
Okay. I think you've got, what do you have next? You have the EPG?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Okay. All right, we're ready on DEPG.
Yep. You want me to start? Yep.
We're here, obviously. Patrick McLean's here, the engineer, and Mr. DePetris and I. I spoke with Andrew on Monday, and he indicated that he was going to be providing comments on the curative amendment at the workshop meeting tonight, and so that we would be on the agenda for that. So we're waiting to hear. I haven't seen anything, but we're waiting to hear where that stands.
Yeah, and I highlighted for council the issues that I wanted to address, and hopefully the members of the Planning Commission have my attorney-client privileged memo that spells out these different issues. So we'll take them one at a time. I have, I think, seven of them here. So this is just to give us context. This is a proposed zoning ordinance that would allow multiple commercial uses by conditional use on a single lot, as opposed to, of course, subdividing a lot into different uses. So the issues that I see are, first, density. What's proposed is 20,000 square feet for each, I forget how you phrase that, Tony. Here we go. Minimum lot area per principal use is 20,000 square feet. I think, first of all, you want to increase that. The DD district requires 43,000 and change, or 1 acre minimum lot area, if there is one lot sewage, which, as I understand it, there would be here. And that seems appropriate for this project.
Andrew, are we going to take these one at a time, or?
Yeah, let's do one at a time and address them. So swing away as I pitch them in. So there's two aspects to this. One is the minimum lot size. The second is the minimum lot area should be based on each principal building. And one of the things I want to gauge from the Planning Commission, does anybody have any issue with multiple uses within one building? I don't think it's necessarily what's being proposed here by DEPG, but it's something that you may run into with subsequent users of subsequent lessees of DEPG's property or another application that might be made.
I don't think that would be an issue because we do have that existing already.
Okay, good. Okay, no problem there. All right.
With regards to the 43,000, that is correct in terms of the lot size required if you're going to put an individual business on an individual lot. If it had on-lot sewer and water. These individual businesses are not going to have the sewer and water on their area. There's going to be a central system. It's going to be private and part of the project, but it's not going to be, it's not like each business is going to have to fit those in. And I have to assume, because I've done a lot of this, that, you know, an acre is considered reasonable space to fit in a well and a septic system and meet the required distances. We don't have that same thing here. Now the ordinance allows that if you were going to carve out an individual lot and you had central water and central sewage, which there is central water available, and let's just say there was central sewage, then you can go down to 30,000 square feet. That's what the ordinance calls for. On the other hand, that's where you have to also meet all the setbacks within that individual lot. So the idea that we're going to have a multiple use project on one parcel, I don't think it has to
meet the same requirements. Oftentimes, there are many ordinances that say that you need like 10,000 square feet. We are on the side of something a little bigger, but certainly I think 43,000 is misplaced in this situation. Because that would be if I was buying one lot and I wanted to buy a property, let's say from the Santos, and develop one business on an individual parcel. If I had on-lot sewer and water, I would have to have 43,000. If I had central sewer and water, I'd be down to 30 already.
Okay. Planning Commission, does that make sense to you? Maybe we look at 30,000 square feet?
Yes.
Minimum per building?
Yeah, in my opinion, I don't know what you might, 30, is that meet in the middle at 30,000? I mean, that sounds fair enough, I would think.
Okay.
It's the way our ordinance reads, and he's correct on that, so.
Yeah, I would say given that it doesn't have to have a septic.
It doesn't have, each building's not going to have a septic well and septic.
Right,
you have the shared sewage, shared
water.
Well,
I mean, some lots that are developed, though, I mean, this is for the entire township. I mean, some lots might have to have their own. If they did a common septic, they might. Who knows if they're going to do their own well? It would depend
on
the design.
It's going to have to be based on septic and water being delivered.
Whatever the availability of
it has to be a minimum. It doesn't mean you couldn't require a higher amount if
you have to put a well on it.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
There are cases where it has central septic and separate wells.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
That I do know. Yeah, because sometimes the water needs for one business are greatly higher than, you know.
But again, if there's a central septic system, putting a well on a property is a lot easier than trying to fit it in.
Of course, yeah.
And before we move on to that, Patrick, with respect to the minimum size there, you've been involved with multi-use projects, right?
Yes.
Not unlike this one?
Yes.
There usually is a typical kind of minimum size. You don't want it so small that things don't fit, including parking and stuff like that, right?
Right.
What do you typically run into in terms of what the area would need to be?
I can't say a specific number off the top of my head, but 30,000 does seem appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
It seems, I get the feeling that it would work for the proposed development and for other uses in the township.
Because I'm thinking smaller, but obviously that's my job. You know?
Yep.
I would just, so you think in terms of the... what's being proposed over here, the 30,000 would be accommodating.
Tony, we can live with 30,000.
Okay, that's
fine.
Can I interject there?
Yeah.
If you were going to go less than 30,000, I would. 30,000, you're meeting the ordinance.
Right.
Anything less, I would consider that a cluster development. And under a cluster commercial development, would want to see more setbacks and buffer zones.
And green space.
You know what I'm saying?
The more dense the, you got to have a give and take on that too. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's more development, you know, you're going to need to have more green space.
It's a good point. All these items are really interrelated. And so if we go down from 43,000 square feet, we're going to pick up some of these issues with subsequent matters that I had listed here,
mm-hmm.
All right, including the next one, which is lot coverage. So the maximum proposed is 75%. Current zoning says, I understand, 25% up to 65% for non-commercial uses per section 414, if larger setbacks are provided, just like you were just talking about, and stormwater management is addressed. So I don't have the particulars of the ordinance as to what those things.
Right.
The stormwater management and larger setbacks, what they would entail, but this is part of the discussion, is if you have a greater lot coverage, what do you want to see as regards setbacks? What do you want to see as regards, and we'll see later on, open space, things like that.
Right, and that's exactly what we're going to be looking at. And, you know, the 75% can only be given by the supervisors, and that's... that would be based off of a recommendation by us too.
I'm
thinking just allowing the that kind of project to happen. I mean, I would think that we would want to stick with 65% just to allow for the green space. Like I said, this is a conversation that's going to continue on.
Yes. That one we're going to need to get more into, Andy.
Okay. Got it. All right, let's look at the next one, because we're touching upon the same areas, setbacks. So, for instance, we just saw with the AutoZone, they had that, what was that, 25 foot off of 6 and 209?
Yeah.
25.
Yeah, front yard.
Planted setback.
And they had planted setbacks all the way around it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have along the highway, and then you have the neighbors on the other side. The back, I don't think you have the same concerns given what's back there. But you may with the next applicant that comes along if you adopt this ordinance, tenants adopts it. So just looking ahead, what kind of setbacks do you envision? Do you envision that they're planted?
I think our past experiences have always been maintaining the 25-foot setback with whatever trees are there. That's how we've been in the past.
Well, I think that the setbacks on a project like this need to be utilized as like planting beds. And
yeah, no, I'm just saying.
You know,
so we've always maintained like a 25-foot setback at property lines too. We tried to anyway. Some of the properties you couldn't do it with because if they were non-conforming.
But, right, but I think in a project like this, I mean, the setbacks traditionally you've been able to use parking in the setback, and you could. But I don't. In this case, I don't think that. In these cases, I think that they would have to be. I would think that we want them to be a vegetated buffer.
Yeah, I would like to see some kind of vegetated buffer because you are impeding on the neighboring properties.
Am I talking loud enough? Can you hear?
And but the other side.
Would that be on the side?
Yeah, on the side.
It's not the front necessarily, although.
I'm sorry. What?
No, whatever. We'd have to see what you could get in the front.
And actually, we put in 50 because at one point there was talk about a higher number. The ordinance actually.
I thought on the one plan, the parking lot looked like it was like 2 feet off the property line.
It was.
Yep.
We don't know what we don't know what that is, but I mean this is the amendment, not the project.
Right.
The ordinance has a 35-foot minimum actually.
Right.
In the DD zone anyway for the front yard.
Front yard.
We didn't
yes.
get into the side, and then sides 25.
Sides are 25.
Side adjoining the DD district 20. That's not a big difference.
Yeah, right. Yeah, this is right here. The front's 35. The sides 25. Adjoining lots in the DD
Maybe we're considering two separate types of setbacks. One is a vegetated setback, the other is a setback from the building, but you could have parking within that second type of setback.
Right, we've had it where there's parking and setback, but on something on this scale.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You know, in the past, we have allowed parking to be in the setback.
Yeah, like.
But on a project that has multiple uses, I'm thinking that the setback not be used for anything but a buffer.
Mm-hmm. And then keep in mind, if you envision it, it's going to be X feet of vegetated setback, and then an additional setback before you can have a building. Otherwise, there's a potential you have the building right there.
Right there on the. Yeah, that's reasonable.
I think you want to be somewhat careful because you want to have some standard. You know, we're talking about, we're thinking in terms of maybe this particular project, but this ordinance is going to apply to any type of project that comes in.
No, absolutely.
So I think you might want to have a little more of a setback between the non-residential development when it borders a residential development.
Right.
Or residences. So you want to be careful of that too, that you have enough of a buffer
from building
the residential use.
From buildings or from, you know, or from the general construction?
From residential buildings, right.
Yeah, from buildings.
Right.
Which we would achieve that with the what basically is like a two-stage buffer. You know, like Mr. Belwar is talking about, like.
It's not anything we haven't done, even with Spark-O-Matic, which is the cookie company now.
Yeah.
Trying to maintain a buffer zone between them and residential. You know, we can't do anything about the buildings because they were there prior to zoning.
Of course.
But if that was to go in today, that would have been a lot further setback than what they have there.
Sure. How would we address that as far as language goes, that there would be no dwellings within?
Well, the current ordinance does have provisions in the conditional use for the supervisors requiring, as a reasonable condition, additional setbacks between non-residential and residential uses.
Okay.
So that'd be something you would handle, I think, at the hearing, but I think it needs to be stated in the ordinance.
Yeah, I agree.
Agreed.
So you agree with that?
Agreed.
Pretty much, although I got distracted by another question. Do you want to finish what you were just saying?
All I said was that I think there needs to be some provision in your ordinance to differentiate between when you border a commercial establishment or a residential establishment. There needs to be more of a buffer, more of a setback between a non-residential and a residential.
And that's typically in the commercial and industrial standards, you know, the performance standards, where you do have to make that distinction for obvious reasons, you know. Because after all, if there's a commercial business next to you, it's not quite as much of an issue.
Of course.
As it would be in the residential.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know about a township building.
And
that's all I have.
See, now,
that's a good point.
I mean, just for example, on the other side of you is commercial property, but there's also a residence in there.
That
whole building was built to be a house to begin with, but then they converted it.
They converted it.
Which one's that?
Kenny's. Where the spending place was.
Right.
Oh, there's someone living there?
Yeah.
Okay.
When
I thought there was two commercial entities.
When they built it, they had the apartment that they lived in upstairs, and she had her spinning class downstairs.
Oh, it's upstairs. Okay.
All right, and then another aspect to the setbacks is within this multiple use situation. I think Tony's requested a lesser setback between the buildings that they'll put it in, which makes sense so long as it meets the parking requirements, the street size, the
fire standards.
Right, and you also had on your list traffic flow, and so that comes into play a little bit there in terms of how you go between where there's, say, two buildings.
Right.
Which really, that would be the like, especially the ones that are forward towards the highway. You know, when you get to the back, that's not as much of an issue. But, so, yes.
Yeah, it seems, Tony, if I'm right, it seems that the distance between buildings within your multiple use tract would be driven not just by a set distance and certainly not by planting so much as by your traffic requirements, etc.
I think it would be, yes. When you put those two factors in there and you have safe flows and safe parking, that's going to use up the areas that you would normally have set back. Yeah. Yeah.
Got it.
Does that
okay.
Just the nature of the beast, there's going to be plenty of space between buildings.
Right.
Just because of
you can't squeeze it in and have what you need.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
Now, it might be that one building might be designed so that the parking wasn't going to come into, because if there's going to be a traffic flow that has to be kind of segmented in, you don't want people backing in and out of that, right?
Well, you've also... But
I'm doing his job more, and I should let him speak because he has much more knowledge.
From a township standpoint, I mean, whatever the use is, now that there's a building there, the use could change down the road. So accessibility for delivery, I think, would need to be taken into consideration from a developmental standpoint, right off of the bat. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't say, well, this building's, you know, always gonna get a box truck and then something that the deliveries are. And then the next use is tractor trailer, and it didn't accommodate for that. That's why one of my questions, and Tony beat me to it this time with the last project.
On the other one,
on the other project was, is it set up for tractor trailer delivery? And I think that's always the goal that we want to
with
see.
Commercial uses, is I that think you commercial have to provide for it anyway? Yeah.
Well, we have had applicants in the past over the years come in and say, "Oh, we only are ever gonna." Well, that's
only
just
be a FedEx step down truck. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. We just get UPS. Doesn't necessarily accommodate, you know, when you sell the business and somebody expands or whatever. It has to be.
Right. I get tractor trailers shined back in my driveway.
Yeah.
And then I go, where are you going?
I
give me the address. I go, that's up the road.
I had tractor trailers at Ann Street.
Hell yeah.
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 That's not easy.
Yeah, I think you know my shop. You know my Ann Street shop.
Oh, yeah.
It was interesting to hear. It was.